Now we're holding Amnon Hey Omer Bey's second line from the bottom. We'll finish the Masechta today, Be'ez Hashem. We learned in the Mishnah that during the Shalosh Regalim, all the Mishmaris have equal rights to the Avodah, unlike the rest of the year where you only have one Mishmar who's there for the week and they get to bring all the Korbanos. And we said that all of them are equal. So we said in the Emurim of the Regalim, which we said meant not the usual meaning of Emurim, as in the fats and things burnt on the Mizbeach, but rather the parts of the Korbanos that go to the Kohanim themselves, the skins of an Oilah, the Chaz of a Shoik, of a Shlamim, etc. And we said they're also all equal of Chiluk Lechem Aponim. They're all equal as far as the division of the Lechem Aponim, that unlike, again, each on regular weeks, we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, that only the mishmar that's leaving and the mishmar that's coming, generally speaking, get lechem aponim. The mishmar has changed on Shabbos. In the morning, the old mishmar is doing the avodah, and in the afternoon, the new one. So usually only they split it. But on the Shalosh Regalim, all of them share in the lechem aponim. So the Gemara says, "Tana rabbanan, minayin shekol mishmaris shavos bechiluk lechem aponim." How do we know that on the Shalosh Regalim, all of the mishmaris are equal as far as that? Tamad Lema, the pasuk continues. Now, so yesterday we quoted a pasuk in Parashas Shoftim that describes that if a Levi, which we said it means actually a Kohen, comes from some other city in Eretz Yisrael, v'sheres b'chol uvol b'chol avas nafsho, he can come with all the desire of his heart, v'sheres, and he can serve in front of Hashem. And we said that that's talking about on Yom Tovim. And the pasuk continues, chelek kechelek yechelu, they should eat portion equal to portion. So kechelek avoida kachelek achila. So it means chelek kechelek means just as they have equal portions in the avoida, so also they have equal portions in the eating. So the avoida that they share, we said, we learned from avav chalafas avas napshe v'sheves, and now we're saying therefore the pasuk by saying kechelek kechelek is also saying that they each get equal portions of the achila. So now umay achila. So we have to figure for ourselves which eating of kodshim is the pasuk talking about. What would we otherwise not have known that they get equal shares of, that we need these words chelek kechelek to teach us that they do? Ilema korbanos, you're going to say it means the korbanos, the chatois of the yom tovim, the chaz of a shoik of people's shlomims. You don't need the pasuk chelek kechelek for that, because mehosam nafka, you have a different pasuk in parashas tzav, lakoyin hamakriv oisa loisi. Yeah, the pasuk says a general rule that any, they're talking about a mincha, but it means in general korbanos, that the kohen who brings it gets it, and it means not the kohen who brings it particularly, but it means anybody who's eligible to bring it gets a share of it. So obviously, therefore, if all the mishmaris are eligible to bring the korbanos on the Shalosh Regalim, then all of them are equally entitled to shares of those korbanos. You don't need chelek chelek yechelu to tell us that concept. So therefore, ela lechem aponim. So evidently, therefore, it must be telling us about the lechem aponim, which otherwise you wouldn't have known. I mean, there's no avoida with it already, because the avoida of putting it on the shulchan already took place last Shabbos. So therefore, we need to be told that nevertheless all the mishmaris share in eating it. The truth is, I mean, even though Rashi says that Shekhar Nasis Avedos Mishabas Sha'avra, I have a little bit of a hard time understanding that, because after all, it wasn't completely. You still have the Bazichin have to be offered on the Mizbeach, and that takes place on this Shabbos. So that being the case, given that all Mishmaris are in line, conceivably any of them could be bringing the Bazichin, then automatically we should know from that that the Lechem Aponim is to be divided among all of them. I don't know. Maybe the vote is that the putting it in the lechem aponim, the putting it on the shulchan the previous Shabbos, is the equivalent of putting of like catching the blood in the kli shoris, the kabbalah, or whatever, which is the beginning of the avoda of it. And so we're saying that the beginning of the avoda at least was done last Shabbos, and therefore you would think that maybe it has to be that all the parts of the avoda are done now when all the mishmaris are eligible, and therefore we're saying that not. Okay. So therefore, so that's how we see that all of them get lechem aponim. Now you would think then that all of that applies even to things even to obligatory korbanos that are not specifically because of the Yom Tov, but they happen to be brought on Yom Tov. For example, the korbanos tamid, which are being brought every day regardless. So based on what we're saying, you would think the korbanos tamid also, maybe all the mishmaris share in them and share in the skins of them and so forth. No, Talmud Lomar, that same pasuk, chelek chelek yechelu, continues, levad mimkar of al ha'aves, besides for what was sold between the fathers. And what does that mean? Ma mochru ha'aves zelazeh, what did the fathers, the ancestors of the Koyanim, set up between themselves when the Mishmaris were set up on a weekly rotation? Ani b'shabati ba'ata b'shabatcha, I will serve during my week, you will serve during your week. The word Shabbos, by the way, doesn't always mean Shabbos, the seventh day of the week. Sometimes the word Shabbos means a week. So therefore, those kinds of things that exist throughout the rest of the year, those still belong to the Mishmar that is on duty that week. So that's what the Mishnah had told us, that Mishmar, Shazmana Kavua, brings the Tzmidim and the Donim and the Davos and so forth. So only things that are unique to Yom Tov, Do they share in equally, and they eat equally, plus also the lechem aponim, which is, as we're saying, there's no real avoda in it, but there is the eating of it. So chelek chelek yechelu is telling us that as well. But everything else that requires several stages of avoda, then we're saying that only the mishmar shizmane kavua gets to do those. Next, the Mishnah had said, "Ba'atzeres oimeloi heilach b'chola." On Shavuos, if Shavuos comes out on Shabbos, then we have two distributions of bread that's being given to the Kohenim. You have the lechem aponim, which is matzah, and you also have the shtei lechem of Shavuos, which are chometz. So the Mishnah had said that we tell each Kohen heilach matzah, heilach chometz. In other words, as Rashi had said on the Mishnah, we want to stress to him: don't think you're getting only one or only the other. You should know we're giving you a portion of each one because the menachas have to be all menachas have to be shared equally among the kohenim who are eligible. You don't trade off and say I'll get more of this one and you'll get more of that one. So Itmar, so we have a discussion of Amiroyim on a related point, which we're going to tie on a different point, which we're going to tie back to this Helach Matzah Helach Chometz. Rav Amar Sukkah V'Achakach Zman. Rav says when it comes to the first night of Sukkot, you're making Kiddush. Now, we learned earlier in the Masechta that technically, you could say Shechionu when you're making the Sukkah. When you're building the Sukkah, you could say Shechionu. L'maisa, we're not noyig that way, for one thing, because it's more common now, the Mordechai explains, for example, because nowadays it's much more common that one person builds a Sukkah that multiple people are going to share, and then what? Only he's going to say Shechionu, and what about the rest of them? So therefore, the minhag developed to just say Shechionu during Kiddush. So if you're doing that, if you're saying Shechionu during Kiddush, then Rav says, first you say Leisha Basukkah, then you say Shechionu. Rav Baba Chana Amar Zman Ba'Achakach Sukkah, and Rav Baba Chana says the other way around. So the Gemara says, and the reason is like this: Rav Amar Sukkah Ba'Achakach Zman, because he says Chiyuv Diyoma Odif. It's more important to say the bracha that's for the chiyuv of the day. Sukkah is unique to Sukkah, so it's a chiyuv to do it. Zman is not actually something you had to say right now, because again, you could have said it. You could have said it even erev Yom Tov. Therefore, Sukkah should go first. Rabba b'chona am zman ba'achakach sukkah, because toder v'sheina toder toder kodim. The more usual bracha comes first, and shechiyonu is a more usual bracha. You say it at various times throughout the year. Leisha b'sukkah you only say during sukkahs. So the Gemara says leima rav b'chona plugged to the bishama b'silu kamifli. Would we have to say that Rav and Rav b'chona are actually arguing on the same argument as bishama and b'silu have? The Tana Rabbanan. Dvarim shebein b'shama b'silu b'soda. The following are the list of machloikasin that b'shama and b'silu have when it comes to a meal, and you have the whole eighth parak of brachas goes through a series of machloikasin like that. But here is just the first one we're going to talk about. B'shama m'varach al yoyim v'achakach m'varach al yayin. B'shama says you first make the bracha on the day, so the bracha makadosh Shabbos or makadosh yisur v'azmanim, as the case may be, and then you say b'rach priagopin. Oh, Basil Mvarach Alayain, Vahakh Mvarach Alayim. Basil says the other way around, Bur Priagrofen first, and then Asher Kedushanim of Mitzvahis of Asher Bachabanu. And the reason, so the Mishnah actually mentions that Macholikus as well, but it doesn't give the reason behind it. The Braisa that we're quoting gives the reasons. Because it's only because of the day that you're having wine in the first place, if that you're having Kiddush. If it weren't for the day of Yom Tov, you wouldn't necessarily be having wine before the meal. Or okay, I mean, it was common enough in those days to have a drink of wine before the meal, but it wasn't required. This that you're being required to do it is only because of Yom Tov or Shabbos. And another reason they say, another reason is because after all, what happens? Yom Tov or Shabbos begins first. Only later on do you make Kiddush. So therefore, that's a reason to say the bracha on the Yom first. Basil says the other way around. And they also have two reasons. Because of wine are you saying Kiddush. If you didn't have wine, you wouldn't be saying Kiddush. Rashi says, okay, the same thing is true. If you're making Kiddush on bread, same idea. Only if you have bread there are you making Kiddush. If you don't have wine or you don't have bread, then you're not saying Kiddush before. Dover Acher, and another explanation why the wine should come first. Birkas Hayayin Tadira, because the bracha on wine is Tadir, because you say it on many times during the week. Or Birkas Hayayin Ain't Tadira, and the Birkas Hayayin is not, because it's only for Shabbos or only for Yom Tov. So Tadir Vashayin Tadir, Tadir Kodim. Now that we see that machlokes, Lema Rav de Omer Kibis Shammai, Rav Labachon de Omer Kibis Hillel, are we going to say now that Rav holds like this Shammai, where he ignores Tadir Vashayinit Tadir and focuses on the fact that Chiyuva de Yoma Odif, which sounds more like that overrides Tadir, so that sounds like this Shammai, and Rav Labachon would be like this Hillel? The problem with that, of course, is that the halacha is going to be like Rav against Rav Labachon, but the halacha is like this Hillel against this Shammai. The answer is Amalach Rav. No, Anod Amri Afilu Besilo. No, Rav can say what I'm saying as far as here. Sukkah and Zman has nothing to do with that Machloikas. So Beshama and Besilo. Here, even Besilo would agree that Sukkah comes first. Ad Kan LaKamri Besilo Hosam Elashai Yain Gurim LaKedusha Shetamar. Because Besilo is saying there that one of their reasons is not just because of Tadir Vashein and Tadir, but also because the Kiddush depends on the wine. No wine or bread, no Kiddush. Aval Hocha, but over here, they're not interdependent. E labs man mila yamin and sukkah. If we don't have Shech Yonu, we still say Leisha Basukkah. So it makes sense to put sukkah first. It's not like it depends on saying Shech Yonu. Meanwhile, Rav Babachana can also say that or Machlokes has nothing to do with Beshamai Mesilo. What I'm saying would work even according to Beshamai. Ad kan le amri which, by the way, Tosfos points out within Bes Hillel's reason. I mean, they do mention that wine is tadir, and Rav is seems to be ignoring that point. But after all, that's not Tosfos's only reason. That's not Bes Hillel's only reason. Their second reason, their first reason, really, that they bring is because Shayayin Gurim Lekiddush Yavo, and Rav is focusing on that. Rav is focusing on that reason, or maybe not even. Maybe he's not even really following Bes Hillel's reasons at all, but he's saying, leaving us, the fact is that as a matter of halacha, it's true, Bes Hillel says that you put yayin first, but that's only when things are interdependent. When things are not, you know, are not interdependent, then Bes Hillel's reasons might not even apply. Okay. Anyway, so Rav Labachana would say, I'm not the Amri after Lula Bes Shammai. What I'm saying would work even according to Bes Shammai. Ad kan le ame bishame hosn elashai yoim gurin le yayim shiyavo, because bishame is saying, yeah, they're interdependent, but the other way around, without the yoim, you wouldn't be making the bracha right now over the wine. Aval hocha, ilav sukkah mila yamin zman, but here it's the other way around. Even without a sukkah, you still say shech yonu. For example, Rashi says, we learned earlier in the Masechta that travelers and several other groups of people are potter from sukkah, but they still say shech yonu just like any other yomtiv. We learned, in fact, earlier in the Masechta, we brought an opinion that said zman oimri afilu bashuk, that you say shech yonu even if you're in the street and you don't have a cup of wine available, and we do that on Yom Kippur night because you have no kos to make shech yonu on. But shech yonu doesn't depend on kiddush. So therefore, no reason to say that the bracha on sukkah should necessarily have to come before Shech Yonu. Okay. So now that we understand their machloikas, and we understand that it's not tied to the machloikas of the Shammai Bes Hillel, now let's look at our Mishnah and see how it bears on it. Tnan, ba'atzeras omele helach matzah helach chometz. on Shavuos, when it comes out on Shabbos, we say, we tell each Kohen, as we give him portions, we first give him a portion of Lechem Aponim, which is Matzah, and then we give him a portion of Shteya Lechem, which is Chometz. And we do it in that order. Now, the Chometz Iker of Matzah Topol. Now, over here, the Chometz, the Shteya Lechem, is the main thing because it's Chov HaSayim. It's like the Bracha Leisha Basukah on Sukkos. The Matzah is only Tufel, because really, fundamentally, it belongs to last Shabbos. It's only that this Shabbos, it's only Xeris HaKosev, is that you have to leave it on the Shulchan all Shabbos, and then you take it off on Shabbos and distribute it among the Kohenim. But still, the Matzah it comes first, showing that Todir, Sheinit Todir, Todir Kohenim, that fits according to Rav Baba Chana. What does Rav do with that? So Tiyuv to the Rav, wouldn't that be V'katani Helach Matzah Helach Chometz? Tiyuv to the Rav, wouldn't that be a contradiction on Rav? The answer is Omalach Rav Tanoyi. So Rav will answer you. As a matter of fact, it's not so simple. It's actually Machlokas Tanoyim. Which one goes first and which second? The Tanya, Helach Matzah, Helach Chometz. Abba Shol, Helach Chometz, Helach Matzah. Abba Shol puts it the other way around. Fine. So Rav says, so I'm going like Abba Shol. Okay. Who is the halacha like? Dorash of Nachman Bar of Chista. Loi kedivrei Rav to amasukah v'achakach zman. The halacha is not like Rav that you first say leisha v'asukah and then zman. Ela zman v'achakach sukah. Rav Nachman Bar of Chista says the halacha is like Rav Baba Chana. Shech yonu first, then leisha v'asukah. Rav Sheshes Bredi Rav Idi amasukah v'achakach zman. Rav Sheshes Bredi Rav Idi says that no, you go like Rav and you put sukah first. V'huchas asukah v'achakach zman. That is the final halacha. Although, which means, in other words, Tosfos is saying we're not paying attention to the Stam Mishnah over here. That's one thing. Or the other possibility, Tosfos says, is after all, the Lechem Aponim can still be considered Chayv HaSayim. It's not completely like Shech Yonu, where we could have said it even before Yom Tov. Here, you can't give out the Lechem Aponim before Shabbos. And that's necessarily, it has to be given out on Shabbos. Therefore, in a certain sense, it's an equal Chayv HaSayim to the Shteya Lechem. And therefore, the fact that you do it in this order doesn't necessarily show about Sukkah and Zman, where conceivably you could have said Zman even before Yom Tov. Now, with that said, though, so Hagos Maimonides brings that there in Chutz La'aretz there's a difference in that regard between the first and the second day. Because the logic is, on the first day, you want the Shech Yonu to be last in order to include everything that you said so far. It should include the Kiddush, it should include the Yom Tov, and it should include the Sukkah, seeing as how you didn't say Shech Yonu before Sukkahs when you built it. On the other hand, the second night, you already said Shech Yonu previously. You already said Leisha Basukah previously. You don't have to include everything in the Shech Yonu. Therefore, you put the Shech Yonu first. And that is, so the Mechaber brings that, and then Amos says that is the proper way to do things. And so that is taka how we do. A useful way to remember it, I think, is like this. Sometimes you have, you know, of course, the second night of Sukkot can come out on Matzah Shabbos, and then you say Yak Nahaz. You can think of it, on the other hand, the first night can never be Matzah Shabbos. You can think of it, you never break up the order Yak Nahaz. You're never putting in Sukkah over there. So that can help. Remember, I use this always every year when I can never remember which one comes first and which second is on the second night. Had it been Matzah Shabbos, you would be doing Yak Nahaz and then Sukkah. That helps you remember the second night is Zman and then Sukkah. And automatically then you know then that the first night is the other way around. Okay. So that's that then. Next, the Mishnah had said Mishmar Shazmanu Kavua B'chola, that the Mishmar whose time is fixed, meaning that this is the week on which there are duty. So we said when it comes to the Kobanas that are because of Yom Tov, namely the Musafim of Yom Tovim and the Olas Ru'iyah and the Shami Chagiga that everybody brings, then we said all the Mishmaris share them equally. But we said, on the other hand, the ones that have the other ones that are not coming because of Yom Tov, those we said, the Mishmar, Shizmane Kavua, the Mishmar that's on duty that week, gets those. And it gave a list of things, the Tmidim, the Donim, and the Davis, and it finished off with Makrivas Akol. And they bring everything. Ushar Kobonas Tzibur, we said they brought all the other, Ushar Kobonas Tzibur. We said they bring the Tmidim, the Donim, and the Davis, and the other Kobonas Tzibur. So, Lasuye Mai, what is that Ushar Kobonas Tzibur coming to add? Now the answer is Lasuye Par Helam Dovashal Tzibur Usiri Avodis Kechavim. It comes to include Kobonas Tzibur, which don't have a fixed time. Suppose that we know that if the Sanhedrin paskins wrongly on certain halachas, with Zdoine Koris and Shagrosse Chatas, and most of the people follow them, and you have certain other criteria that it talks about in Masechta Horius, then they end up bringing a par helam davashal tzibur, or even 12 parim, one for each shevet, and that if the psak had to do with Avodah Zarah, where they were matter a certain kind of Avodah Zarah, then they bring a par and a sor, or 12 parim and 12 sirim. So those are a korban sibur, but they're not kavua lahem zman, unlike the tmidim and musafim and whatnot, where you have a fixed time to bring them. These are korbanas sibur, which don't have a fixed time. So the Mishnah, by using the word, by using the word of shar korbanas sibur, is coming to include those as well. Should it happen during one of the Shalosh Regalim that they have to bring one of the, that they have to bring a par helam davashot tzibur or sidi avodah zarah, then the mishmar of that week is the one that gets to bring those, and they're the ones who get to eat the portions of it and get the skins of it and so forth. Or not the skins, actually, the whole thing is burnt outside the machna, but whatever. Yeah. We said that that Mishma offers everything. So Lasuya Mai, what do we mean by everything? Lasuya Kayetzam Mizbeach. That comes to include Kayetzam Mizbeach, which are korbanos that are being brought when otherwise the Mizbeach would be idle, when there are slack seasons and no korbanos are being brought. So then they bring Kayetzam Mizbeach. The likelihood of that being during Yom Tov is maybe not that great because people are bringing the Donim and the Dabas. But still, if it happens, so they had in Masechet Shkolim, it talks about in various other places in Shas that they had six pushkas in the Beis Hamikdash that were labeled Nedava, and the purpose of those was the money of those goes towards Kayetz and Mizbeach. So now, if it happens during one of the Shalosh Regalim that they have to bring Kayetz and Mizbeach, then the Mishmar Shizmane Kavur, the Mishmar on duty that week, is the one that brings those. Okay, so far to recap, what we said is, we learn from Pesukim that all the Kohenim share, all the Mishmaris share in the Lechem Aponim throughout during the Shalosh Regalim, but not the Korbanos that are being brought that don't have anything to do with Yom Tov. And as far as Sukkah and Zman, we went through the possibilities over there. We ended up saying the halacha is that indeed Sukkah first, then Zman. It says in our Mishnah, Halach Matzah, Halach Chometz. There's Abishol says the other way around, and we said that was the halacha, and so we're saying that the Mishmar Shizmane Kavur brings all korbanos that are being brought that don't have to do with the Yom Tov, even the unscheduled ones like the Par Helam Gavur and so forth. Mishnah says, Yom Tov Hasamuch LeShabbos. If Yom Tov comes out adjacent to Shabbos, Bein Melefaneh, Bein LaAchareha, whether before it or after it. Now, does that mean that the Yom Tov begins on Friday? So Bein Melefaneh, Bein LaAchareha means Friday or Sunday, respectively. But the Gemara is going to say, we don't mean if the Yom Tov begins on Friday and then the first day Chol HaMoed is Shabbos, because of course, that's a Shabbos during Yom Tov. Of course, all the Mishmaris share in that. We mean the other way around. We mean if Shabbos is Erev Yom Tov, or if Shabbos is Erev Yom Tov or Metzoy Yom Tov, or Isruchag. So in that case, how you call a mishmaris Shabbos, the chiluk lechem aponim, all the mishmaris are equal again in dividing the lechem aponim, because even though that Shabbos is not part of the Yom Tov itself, nevertheless, the fact is all the mishmaris have to be there because they can't come on Shabbos itself. Therefore, they're all entitled to equal shares of the lechem aponim as if it was Yom Tov. What happens if there's one day in between? So if Yom Tov ends on Thursday or begins on Monday, or in the case of Shavuos, it's a one-day Yom Tov, so it comes out on Thursday or on Monday. So now what happens is, let's say the first day Yom Tov is Monday. Conceivably, there's nothing preventing the Mishmaris from showing up in Yerushalayim on Sunday. They have to be there before Yom Tov, but they could come on Erev Yom Tov. So if instead some of them decided to come before Shabbos, or vice versa, Yom Tov ends on Thursday, and they could all be leaving on Friday, but instead some of them decide to stay over in Yerushalayim until after Shabbos. So Mishmar Shizmane Kavua Hayonotel Eser Chalos, the Mishmar whose time is fixed, meaning the Mishmar that is on duty that week, gets 10 of the chalas of Lechem Aponim, 10 out of the 12. Vamis Akiv, Notel Shtayim, the one that stayed behind, or the one that came early, or all the Mishmaris, they get only two, and they divide it among themselves. The 10, we're going to say, it doesn't really go to one Mishmar, as the Mishnah is going to go on to tell us, it gets split between the two Mishmaris, the one that's leaving and the new one that's coming in. And actually, the Gemara also tells us in Yuma, the Kohen Gadol is entitled to half the Chalas, so each of those Mishmaris also takes half of what they got and gives it to the Kohen Gadol. And then I guess he can eat them himself or distribute them, redistribute them among the Kohenim or do whatever he wants with it. So the reason behind that is, so the Rambam explains the vote. So actually the Rambam has a different understanding of this Mishmar HaMis'akir. He understands like this. So what we just said, that you have people come early or people leave late, that's basically how Rashi understands it over here. That's also how the Raivad understands it. The Rambam has a different understanding of it. What we mean is, so let's say Yom Tov ends on Thursday. So now you have Friday belongs only to the Mishmar of that week. Lemaisa, though, a lot of them are likely to figure, why should we bother? We only have one day when the avodah is going to be all ours. So therefore, not many of them come and show up. So they are the misakiv, and therefore they get only two chalas. Whereas the mishmaris that were there, they get the 10 chalas. And in fact, that's the Ravid argues strongly about that and calls it hevel to understand it that way. And he understands it more like Rashi does. And the Kesef Mishnah says, "What hevel?" I mean, the advantage of the Rambam's explanation is that then the word misakiv makes sense no matter when you're talking about the Yom Tov came out, as opposed to according to Rashi and the Ravid, it should be makdim or misakiv, as the case may be, depending whether the Yom Tov is on Monday or on Thursday. So according to the Rambam, not really a knas, but
they didn't come because they figured, why should we be there?
Well, not really. The Rambam doesn't call it a knas. It's more practically speaking. Since you have fewer of them, then there's no need to give them that many chalas. Okay. The rest of the year, when you don't have any Yom Tovim, the incoming Mishmar, the one that's going to take over Shabbos afternoon, gets six of the chalas of the lachem upon him, and the one that's leaving, the one that was there all week and was doing the avodah, gets the other six. Rabbi Yehuda Oman Nichnas Neto Sheva Vayotze Neto Chomesh. Rabbi Yehuda says the new one gets seven, the old one gets five, for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara. Also, another distinction, and this is according to everybody, Hanichnosim Chilkin Batsofin Vayotzen Badorim. The ones who are coming in, the new Mishmar that's coming in, they divide their Lachem upon him on the north side of the Azara, because the north side is more important, since that's where you Shecht Kodshe Kodshim. There's one of the Rebbe's Hadronim on Sukkah, which we'll talk about more on Amud Beis, Be'ez Hashem. There is also the fact the Lechem Aponim itself comes from the Shulchan, which stands in the north side of the Mishkan, of the Heichel. That's another reason maybe to say the north. There was also the consideration in that same place, they don't just divide the Lechem upon him. That's the same spot where they divide other things that go to the incoming versus outgoing Kohenim as well. And some of those have to do, for example, with the Mizbeach, where you have different opinions where in the Azara the Mizbeach stood. Was it mostly in the northern side, mostly in the southern side, etc.? So anyway, that all that might be another consideration why they chose the north for the incoming Mishmar. Vayotzin Badorim, the ones who are leaving, do it in the south side, because that way it's noticeable that they're leaving. So therefore, like, they move it to the unimportant side. And I think Meiri says there's a practical benefit to it also. This way, the outgoing Mishmar doesn't mistakenly go and do one last avoider or something. Their time is up, and they're not supposed to be doing that. So therefore, they're dafka on the other side in order to help remind them not to do, not to keep in mind. I mean, any korbanos that are going to be brought on Shabbos are only korbanos tzibur, and all of those are going to be kodshim. There's no kodshim kalam among korbanos tzibur, so all of them are going to have to be shechted in the north, and the kibul daman is going to have to be in the north and so forth. So putting them on the south side is a very practical thing. They'd have to cross over to the other side of the azara to do the avoda, and that way it helps remind them not to do that. On the other hand, the Mishnah says bilga, which is the Mishmar number 15, all the Mishmaris had names, they're listed in Divrei Yomim. So the 15th Mishmar was called Bilga. Actually, the Gemara tells us in Tainis that actually when they came to build the second Beis Mikdash, only four of the 24 Mishmaris came, and Bilga is not listed among them. So the Gemara says over there, what they had to do is they had to redivide the four Mishmaris that came. They had to make six Mishmaris out of each one in order to have a full complement of 24 Mishmaris. So either what it is once they did that, then they renamed them according to the list in Divrei Yomim. So even though, in other words, for example, now you have, let's say, a Mishmar of Yehoyariv, they're not actually descended from Yehoyariv, like the ones of the first Bismikdash, but they called them that because that was the name. Or the other possibility, Mephoshim say, is maybe eventually the other Mishmaris, or enough members of them, did make it back to Eretz Yisrael. They were still, the Gemara says over there in Tainus, they were still penalized in the sense that they're not going to have their original spots in the rotation. Yehoyariv, for example, the first Mishmar, didn't come up when they built the second Mishmikdash. Yedaiah, the second Mishmar, did. So therefore, they get to be first. And if Yehoyariv ever shows up, then they get demoted and they get to be second or sixth or whatever it is. But so over here, the Mishmar of Bilga that we're talking about could be descendants of the Mishmar of Bilga from the first Bismikdash who eventually made it to Eretz Yisrael, or they could be one of the redivided Mishmaris that was named Bilga because that was the name of Mishmar number 15 in the first Bismikdash. Anyway, that Mishmar, La'olam Chilekas Badorim, they always divide their Lachem Aponim and other things from the Korbanos in the south side, even when they're coming in, for reasons that we're going to explain in the Gemara. The Tabata Kvor, also their Tabas, their ring is fixed in place. Now, what ring? Rashi explains we're talking about the rings that are attached to the ground near the Mizbeach, where they would put the neck of the animal inside the ring to hold it in place while they're shechting it. Or in other places, the Rambam describes these rings as well, and he says rather than putting the neck of the animal in, they put the feet of the animal in the ring. Same difference. However, here the Rambam has a different explanation of the ring. He says that we're talking about when a new Mishmar would come in, they would have a ring that had their name on it that they would hang on the wall over there as a siman to anybody who comes to the Bais Mikdash that week, that they should know that Mishmar is on duty. So he says then their Tabata Kavua. So according to Rashi, Tabata Kavua means they permanently closed up their ring so that they can't use it to put the neck of the animal in, and therefore it's a gnai, because now they have to borrow a ring from one of the other Mishmaris. According to the Rambam, the vote is they don't get to hang up their ring on the wall to show that they're on duty. Of Chaloina Stuma, and their Chaloin, their window or their cubby, is closed. So Rashi explains that there were cubbies in the base of Chalifos, in the sides of the ulam of the heichal, where they would place the worn out knives. So they closed up that cubby. And again, now the point is they have to put their knives in somebody else's cubby, which is again a gnai for them. The Rambam again has a different understanding of the chaloin over here. He says it's referring to the cubbies where they kept the bigde kahuna. So like this, each Mishmar had four cubbies for the Bigde Kohuna, one for the Mitznefes, one for the Avnet, and so forth, where they had in each cubby, they had many of each beged, because all the Kohanim who are going to be on duty, each one needs Ksonis, each one needs Mechnasayim, and so forth. And so the point is, according to the Rambam, they closed up those cubbies of Bilgas, and now they have to store their Bigde Kohuna someplace else, which again is a gnai for them. So the Rebbe talks about in the Hadron on Sukkah in Chelik Yotes that the underlying machloikas of Rashi and the Rambam can be, given the Gemara is going to give us two reasons why Bilga was penalized this way, one of them being because of the story of Miriam Bas Bilga. So now the question is, do we therefore, is the knas for them strictly in things that conceivably have a shaychus to women? So then we would say, okay, the lechem aponim doesn't have a shaychus to women, but we said there are other things of the korbanos that they divide in the same place also, one of them being the skins of the oilus, and those are shaychus to women. The women are allowed to use those skins, same as the men. So as far as the tabas and the chaloin, those have to do with the shechita. And in principle, women are allowed to shecht korbanos. Practically speaking, they wouldn't, but in principle, la halacha, they were allowed to. So therefore, according to Rashi, the knas was specifically in, and then the whole thing of that the Gemara is going to say, Oyla Rosha, Oyla Shechinah, only goes as far as things where Miriam herself could have had a shaychus to them. As opposed to, according to the Rambam, we're penalizing them even in areas where women have nothing to do with it, namely the ring showing that they're on duty, where the women of that Mishmar are not on duty, and then the cubbies where they keep the Bigde Kohuna, where again women aren't shaykh to Bigde Kohuna. So according to him, the Oyla Rosha, Oyla Shechinah, and the converse, the Tovla Rosha, Tovla Shechinah, ends up affecting things on a much deeper level. And the Rebbe ties it to the Sicha over there in Chelik Yotes is actually on Parshas Voschanan in connection with the Din of Bar Metzra, but a major chunk of the Sicha is discussing how the concept of Shechinos, which we're going to say in the Gemara, Oyla Rosha, Oyla Shechinos, how we understand that what it affects on, with the effect that it has on a person, according to Rashi and the Rambam, respectively. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. When we say that Shabbos came out before or after Yom Tov, what do we mean? Do we mean Lefaneha means the first day of Yom Tov is on Shabbos, and Lachareha means the last day of Yom Tov is on Shabbos? Well, of course, all the Mishmaros are equal. Hainu Shabbos, Shabbosei Chachad. That's Shabbos during Yom Tov. Ela, no, the other way around. Lefaneha Yom Tov Achron. Lefaneha means the last day of Yom Tov was on Erev Shabbos, and now Shabbos is Isru Chag. Lachareha Yom Tov Rishon, and Lachareha means the day is Erev Yom Tov. My timer, and the reason why all the Mishmaras are equal, given the Hani Machtimi, Bahani Ma'achri, because in either case, all the Mishmaras have to come early before Shabbos, so they have to leave late after Shabbos. So here it wouldn't be Daraisa that all of them get the Lacham upon him, unlike what we said at the top of the Amud about Chelek Echelu, because this isn't part of the Avodah, but the Chachamim made a Takana that they should be able to eat together, seeing as how all of them have to be there. We said Chal Yom Echad. On the other hand, we said that if one day is in between, so Yom Tov ends on Thursday or begins on Monday, and we said, continuing in the Mishnah, that regular Shabbosim during the year, the Tanakama had said the incoming and outgoing Mishmo each get 6 Chalas, and Rabbi Yehuda said the outgoing one gets 5, the incoming one gets 7. So Bahani Tauti Maya Vidtayu, why is the incoming one, according to Rabbi Yehuda, getting 2 extra? As payment for the fact that they're closing the doors, which the Mishmar HaYotzei opened the doors in the morning, and now they're closing. Mind you, Mephoshim point out, most of the doors of the Beis Hamikdash were opened and closed by the Levim. The Levim are not shaykh to lachem upon him. So we have to be talking about, evidently, the Mishnah in Tumid and in Midas tells us there are 3 places where Kohenim would stand guard. So, Bapashtus, we have to be talking about those doors. Since they stood guard over there, they're the ones who are opening and closing those doors. And that's the Hagafas Dlossis that we're referring to over here. The Meiri says, if that's all it was, then so what? You're the same way as you're paying the new Mishmar for the fact that they're closing the gates. So why don't you pay the outgoing Mishmar for the fact that they open the gates, which is also a Tircha. So he explains that actually what it is the new Mishmar, even though they only take over Shabbos afternoon, he says they would be there in the morning as well. They would help open the gates. Then afterwards, Shabbos afternoon, the old Mishmar is gone, and only the new Mishmar is closing the gate. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they deserve compensation for that. So the question is, why do we bother? V'neimalei dal b'dal. Why doesn't the outgoing Mishmar, why can't they say to the incoming Mishmar, remove for remove? In other words, what's the point of you getting 2 extra this week? You're going to end up losing the same thing next week, or you're doing. It's like taking from one pocket and putting it in the other. We might as well split it equally. So what are you gaining from the Schara Gofas Blossos? If we do that, the next week you're standing to lose that. The Aruch HaNer points out the Gemara could have answered that maybe the reason we do it this way is because, after all, you have 3 times a year. It's going to make a difference. You have the Shabbos before one of the Shalosh Regalim. The new Mishmar is going to be getting their 2 extra Chalas. The next week is going to be doing Yom Tov. All the Mishmaris are going to be sharing the Lacham upon them equally, and they're not going to be losing out anything because everybody's getting an equal number of Chalas. So why didn't the Gemara answer that? He leaves it Tzarechim. Okay, anyway, Abaye Butsina Tova Mikora. Abaya says, it's like a popular expression, a butsina is better than a kora. Rashi explains butsina means a small pumpkin, an immature pumpkin, and a kora means a mature one. So somebody says to somebody else, I'm selling you, I'm giving you this little pumpkin that's still attached to the ground. If you want to pick it now, go ahead. If you want to leave it until it grows larger and it becomes a kora, then you can do that. The person would rather take it right away, as like the English expression, a bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush. Because after all, the other guy might change his mind, or he might not need to give him any more. The same way, if you have a chance, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to get 2 extra, yes, it means you're going to be losing in compensation 2 extra, 2 next week. But Rabbi Yehuda still says they might rather take what's available right now and not worry about how that's going to affect them next week. Tosfos learns a little differently that a butsina and a kara are not 2 stages in the growth of the same vegetable, but rather 2 different vegetables. A butsina is a type of pumpkin that only grows even when it's mature is very small. A kara is one that's much larger, but the mushroom is the same thing. In other words, the same idea. In other words, that a person would rather a smaller profit right now rather than a larger profit later on, because later on is always more chances. Amr of Yehuda, who was Safin Chokin. Now, Rav Yehuda says, so the Mishmah that's leaving does the Tamach Shachar. The Mishmah, and they get the skins from the oilus of that. The Mishmah that's incoming does the Tamach Benabayim. What about the Musafim? Rav Yehuda says they divide it between themselves, the same way as they divide the Lachem Aponim. The Gemara says, Mesi, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Mishmara Hayotis, Oysa Tamach Shachar. Musafin, the mishmar that's leaving does the tamid shal shachar, and they do the musafin. Mishmara hanichneses oisa tamid shal ben abayim ubozichin. The mishmar that's coming in brings the tamid shal ben abayim, and they bring the bozichin from last week's lechem upon him on the mizbeach. So when we say the old mishmar does the lechem upon him, we mean they put on the new lechem upon him, and then the new mishmar are the ones who are makriv the bozichin of Lavoina of the old ones on the mizbeach. Do the musafin chokin lekatani. The Mishnah didn't say anything about them dividing the musafin. So apparently they don't. The answer is not necessarily. Hi, Tana, but Chalukah like Kamari. Okay, the Tana of this Braisa is not talking about things that they divide. He's focusing on things where one Mishmo does everything, where the other Mishmo does everything. He's not getting into things that they divide. Amar Rava, so Rava says that still doesn't work. V'artana d'vei Shmuel, the Mairi b'Chalukah. You have the Tana from the Yeshiva of Shmuel, who taught a Braisa that we're going to quote now. He does talk about things that you divide over musaf and chok and lekatani, and he still doesn't mention anything about dividing the musaf. The Tana Dvei Shmuel, Mishmara Hayotis Oisa Tamid Shal Shachar Umusafin, same as the previous braisa, the outgoing Mishmar does the Tamid Shal Shachar and Musafin, Mishmara Nechneses Oisa Tamid Shal Ben Abayim Uvazichin, and this braisa continues with details, Arba Koyinim Hoyin Nechnosim Sham, when it came to replacing the Lechem upon him, four Koyinim would go in there. In general, you always had four Koyinim to replace the Lechem upon him, because you needed two to take out the old ones, and meanwhile, two ones to slide in the new ones, because the Shulchan shouldn't stay, even in a moment without lechem, so they would go it two from one mishmar, two from the other, to take out the old lechem upon him and put on the new one. The chok and lechem upon him, and they divide the lechem upon him. So this Tana is talking about things that they divide. The ilubu musafin chok and lekatani, and still he doesn't mention anything about dividing the musafin. Tiyufta did Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, that's a contradiction on Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, you're right. Tiyufta, that's a contradiction. So the mishmar that brought the musafin, namely the mishmar that was still on duty Shabbos morning, they're also the ones who get the musafin. So if it's a regular Shabbos, it's all oilus, so they're only getting skins. If it's a yomtiv, then there's a chatas tzibur as well, and therefore there's a chatas that they're eating rather than the new mishmar. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Nechnosin Chok and Matzafin, the incoming Mishmah divide their Lechem Aponim on the north side of the Azara. So Tana Rabbanan, Nechnosin Chok and Matzafin, Kedei Sheyero, Shei Nechnosin. This way it's visible, it's obvious that they're coming in because, as we said, the north is more important since that's where the Kodshim Kalim, since that's where Kodshim are Shechted. And they're the ones who are leaving, do it on the south side so that everybody can see that they're leaving. We said Bilga la olam chalekas badarim. So turn on our bottom. Why does Bilga get penalized like that? Ma'isi be Miriam bas Bilga shehimira dosa. It happened with Miriam bas Bilga. By the way, it doesn't mean literally that her father was named Bilga. It means a daughter of the family of Bilga. So shehimira dosa she shmadzich. But this is during the time. Rashi explains this is during the time of Matityahu when the Greeks said they'd taken over Eretz Yisrael and taken over the Beis Mikdash. V'holcha benisis l'sadiyat echad. I mean, Malcha Yibonim, she went and married a soldier of the Greek, was soldier in the army of the Greek kings, of Antiochus or the other kings. Chenichnasu Yibonim laHeichel, when the Yibonim came into the Heichel, when they took over the Heichel and invaded it, she went over, Hoysim of Aetis, the Sandola, Gabi Mizbeach, she kicked the Mizbeach with her sandal, the Omra, and she said, Lukus, Lukus, Lukus is the Greek word for a wolf. How long are you going to be using up the money of the Jewish people? Because every day they bring korbanos on you. And Maharsha says the comparison like a wolf is a wolf goes and devours sheep from the flock. And every day you're going and devouring sheep from the Jewish people. And then you don't stand up for them when they're having hardship. So that was a chutzpah thing of her to do, to kick the mizbeach and call it names like that. So when the Chachamim heard what happened, then they put in these penalties for the Mishmah of Bilga that we said, that the Tabas was closed up and the Chaloin was closed up. which the Gemara is going to ask soon, what do you mean? Because of one girl from the family, you're going to penalize the whole family. So we'll get back to that point soon. I think we're all familiar with the very famous sicha from there are two sichas actually from Tavshin Lamed Hay. There's the better known one of Vav Tishrei that year where the Rebbe talked about the made a hadron on Sukkah and talked about this and was crying when he got to the lukus part about and then being Malamed Schus on Miriam that even though she fell so low, nevertheless, what is the Gemara telling us about her that she still cared about what the Jewish people are going through and even she expressed it in an inappropriate way, but the fact that she even felt bad about it, even though she had already shmadzach and she had already married this goyish officer, nevertheless shows that lo yudach mimenu nidach, as the Rebbe said over there, vos opgeschnitten, nicht opgeschnitten, or whatever the lashon is, nobody is ever cut off completely from the Jewish people. So there was a follow-up sicha then on Simchas Torah that year where the Rebbe said people asked Hay Tochan Yibin Malamed Schus on Miriam Bas Bilga, and he says you find a similar example where the Alter Rebbe was Malamed Schus on a neshama of one of the people who killed Zechariah Hanavi and was Malamed Schus on him and helped that neshama. So the same way you can be Malamed Schus on Miriam, and the Limud Schus is not just the fact that we're saying how much she cared. The fact is the Gemara is going to say we learn from her story the concept of Oyla Rasha Oyla Shechene and the converse Tov Latzadik. And that we learn it from, we learn how it was applied to the whole family of Bilga from her. So you see, in other words, there's a certain Mila that even though she did that, nevertheless, we still learn this important concept from her. And then I've also mentioned, by the way, in that Sicha, another point as well, which is, you're going to say, I mean, she did such horrible things already. She shmadzich, she married a goy. Those are serious averas. You're holding it against her, davka, of all things, that she kicked the mizbeach and called it names. And the Rebbe explained that based on something the Rambam says, that, for example, with Yeravam and Nebat, even though also he did horrifying averas, but he's not only going to be held to account only for those, but also for, let's say, the lesser averas that he did. Let's say if he missed Eid of Tavshilin, then he's held to account for that also. Ashavo, mashva, katan, regadol, small and big things are all alike in front of the Eibishter. Anyway, so, getting back to the Gemara. So that's one reason why they penalize the family of Bilga is because of the story of this Miriam Bas Bilga. The Yesh Omen Mishmauta Shoy Halavoy. Yesh Omen, a different reason. The Mishma would be late in coming. They're supposed to come Shabbos afternoon, and they didn't. A lot of times they'd be late. The Nichnas Yesheva of Achiv Imay Veshimesh Tachtav. So the Mishma of Yesheva, which is the 14th Mishma, the one before them, so they would have to stay and serve instead of them. So they would have to end up serving Shabbos afternoon because Bilga, or most of the Mishma, maybe only a few people, had come, not most of the Mishma. And the Braisa continues. Even though in general the neighbors of Rishoyim don't gain, they usually, as the Gemara is going to bring, Oyla Rasha Oyla Shechene, but Shechene Bilga Nistaku, in this case, the neighbors of Bilga did gain. Since Bilga always divides the lachem upon him in the south, even when they're the incoming Mishmar, necessarily Yesheva always gets in the north, even when they're leaving, so that's the advantage that they get. The Aruch HaNer, I think, it explains the vort is that if we said it was because of Miriam Bas Bilga, so we're saying okay, the whole Mishma is the Shechinim of her, and they're the ones who lose out. Once we say that the reason is because Bilga as a whole were lazy and didn't come on time, so now the question becomes, what happened to Oyla Rasha Oyla Shechinim relative to that? So the answer is this is an exception to the rule where Yesheva actually ends up gaining. Okay, so the Gemara says, "B'shleim l'manda amr mishmauta shoy halavai." I understand, according to the opinion, that the mishma was late in coming. So the whole mishma, and it comes in, l'kula mishma. That explains why we penalize the whole mishma. El l'manda amr Miriam bas Bilga shei mira daughter medasa mishum brate continin lady day. Just because she shmadzech, therefore we're going to penalize her father. Amar Abaya ain't. Abaya says, yeah, ki da amri inshi, as people say, shusa di nuka, the shuka, the talk of a child in the marketplace, what a kid says out in the marketplace, in the street, oidavu or oidime, it came from either his father or his mother. So if she spoke in a chutz particular way like that, then it means she must have heard that kind of attitude from her parents. And therefore, yes, her father deserves a penalty as well. In fact, there is, you have a concept that says, for example, when a bas koyin is mezanes, and it actually, some of the poskim say that you don't call him first to the Torah anymore. Nevertheless, though, that may mean, that still doesn't necessarily mean that you embarrass him in public, like we're doing over here. And another point is, some of the mefoshim say, the fact is, znus, it's not always possible, it's not always possible to prevent. I mean, people have a yetzahara. So therefore, you can't necessarily hold, so it's a via himachalelis, fine. People say, orosh is a yolad, orosh is a gidel, but they don't necessarily, he doesn't necessarily lose any privileges because of it. Mashenkin over here, they could control what they're saying about the avoda and not have their daughter hear this kind of talk when she's growing up. And since they did, then the father loses out. So the question is, so because of her father and her mother, we're going to penalize the whole Mishmara. Yeah, when the Rasha loses out, and his Shachin also loses out. As you have the example, for example, when a person has tzaras in his house, where the stones have to be taken out, and the neighbor also has to, so therefore you have a stone that goes from one house to the other, and they wind up having to take out the whole stone, and the Shachin loses out as well. And Tov LaTzadik, Tov LaShcheinu, the converse is that Tzadik has it good, and his Shachin also has it good. As the pasuk says, say to the tzaddik that he is good, because they will eat the fruit, meaning the results of what they do. In other words, the point is, first it says tzaddik b'loshen yachid, and then it says prima alehem in loshen rabim, showing that the rabim benefit from what the tzaddik has. On the other hand, it seems that Rashi didn't have that girsa, which is why it's in parenthesis, because Rashi just says, once we know Oyla Rosha Oyla Shechina, automatically Mida Tova Meruba, and therefore automatically it must be that Tova Tzadik Tova Shechina. In the Hadron and Chelik Yud Test, the Rebbe talks about the idea that if we learn from Imru Tzadik Ki Tov, one thing is, then we'd only know that it applies to one Shochet. How do we know it applies to multiple Shechinim? So for that, Rashi would prefer to learn from the fact that Mida Tova Meruba, and therefore automatically it means that it applies not only to a Yochid, but even more so to Rabbin. So that would be a reason why, instead of using the Pasuk, rather than to use a Svara. In that sicha about Miriam Bas Bilga, by the way, it's interesting to point out the bigger context of it. That was the sicha also where the Rebbe introduced the concept of Neshek, the Mivtza Neshek. So he was talking about that we're making a siyum on Sukkah over there because it talks about something involving a Bat Yisrael, and we want to stress, as the Gemara is saying over here, the importance of Shuta Diyinuka, O Davur, O Deima, that what a child learns at home is what they repeat out in the street, and therefore we need to bring more Ur into the house and start having that girls start lighting Shabbos candles as well in order to accomplish that. So this is the Lukas Lukas sicha that we were just talking about. I mentioned before that the Rebbe Simchas Torah said how can he be Malamed Schos on such a person, and the Rebbe gave a reason why to be Malamed Schos. Hadra Malachaholo or Slik Alam Asech the Sukha. Yeah, worth mentioning, by the way, one quick thing also, in that sicha of Chelik Yud Tes, where the Rebbe is analyzing this whole matter of Oyla Rosha, Oyla Shechina, and Tov LaTzadik, Tov LaShechina, the whole concept of Shechinus and what it affects on a person, the Rebbe talks about that it brings from a sefer, I don't remember now which one, that Oyla Rosha, Oyla Shechina is Rosh Tevis Elul. So how does that fit with Elul being Chodesh Arachmim, with such a thing? And the point is, in other words, that so the Rebbe explains the Pnimius that Oyla Rosha doesn't just mean woe to the Rosha as in he gets punished, but as in the Rosha turns himself over and realizes to himself Oy, and then comes to Tshuva, and that has an effect even on Shcheinu, that going back to Chodesh Av also gets transformed by the transformation of Elul Itzrochim. So now that we're at the end of Elul, is an appropriate time to mention that point. Everyone. Okay.